So I will introduce to you once again Rod Burney. He comes to deliver God's word to us from the book of Hebrews, a letter of written to the Hebrews, starting with chapter 12, verse 1. Rod, thank you. Welcome.
You're welcome. Thank you. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary or lose heart." In 1968, a runner, a marathon runner from Tanzania named John Stephen Akwari, he qualified to represent the country in the marathon in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. He finished last, and no one who ever finished last finished worse than he did. He came in an hour behind the last person. He came in bloodied, his knee bandaged. He came in hobbling to the finish line. Someone asked him, they said, "Well, why didn't you just quit? Why didn't you just give up? I mean, you were not going to win it. You know, you were hurt. You were in pain." His answer really stuck out in my mind. His answer was that, "My country did not send me just to start the race. It sent me to finish it, and I was going to do it." God has called you. God has brought you into his family. And you and I are in a race. And like this, it's a marathon. We are in a race. How well are you running? How well are you running the race that God has set before you this day? One of the most descriptive pictures of the Christian life in the Bible is that we're athletes competing in a race. In the book of 1 Corinthians 9:24, Paul tells us that in order to run the race and finish it, you need to be disciplined. You need to discipline yourself. He fought his body to get himself to run that race. He continually was in a battle to make sure he finished that race strong. Philippians 3, Paul wrote down, he said, "I press on, forgetting what lies behind, focusing on what's ahead." Are we doing that? Or has Satan caught us and said, "Hey, did you remember what you did? You know that sin that, you know what you did yesterday? You know what you did 3 years? You know?" Are we being reminded of that by the accuser? Are we going to stand firm? Focus. Easier said than done, but needs to be. And in Hebrews, we are encouraged to throw off everything that might hinder our spiritual growth. Everything that might hinder our spiritual growth and keep us from staying focused upon Christ. Now that is a great challenge. I read that and it's like, wow, everything? Everything? You know, how often do we take spiritual inventories of ourselves? Do we look at ourselves and say, you know what, man, it's like we do for spring house cleaning. Yeah, we just clean up, get rid of, throw out. How often do we do it? We look in the mirror and say, you know, what has to go? What has to go? You know, the Christian life is a race, a faith race. We need to focus it upon the Lord. And it demands great effort for you and I to continually run it and to finish it. It is not a sprint. It's a marathon. The entrance to the race is when you and I accept the call that God's placed upon our lives to be Christians. Outside of that, we're spectators. But once God calls us through Christ, we're in a race. We're in a race. So as one author said, you're in a race. So run. Run. And are we doing so? Run the race set before you. Don't stroll. Don't meander. Don't wander aimlessly and just, oh, this is fun, this is nice. That's not the Christian life. Hey, this is pretty. Look at that side, that view. I mean, we can take time to pause the beauty, look at what God's done for us. But we're in a race. In order to do so, in verse 1, the writer to the Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. It's a command to look at your life very, very hard, very, very specifically about what you are doing and be, and this word, so often when I, you know, I hear it, it always seems to be negative, but I read it in a couple places where it said, be ruthless about dealing with those things in your life which keep you from running the race. Ruthless about those things. Ask yourself, does what I'm doing help me to finish this race with Jesus in front of me? Does what I'm doing help me finish the race? Because we, so often, we can be collectors. We can collect a lot of things, a lot of garbage in our lives, and we just store it away and store it away and store it away. There's a story about Alexander the Great. They were attacking Persia, and at one point in this critical campaign, they were losing. And Alexander saw that the soldiers were bogged down with all the plunder they had taken from previous campaigns, and they were weighted down, and they couldn't do it. So he said to all the soldiers, all your plunder, put in a pile, we're burning it. Well, they were rather upset. They were fiercely opposed to it, but they did it. And right after they did it, they realized how effective that was. Because someone had said, it was as if wings had been given them. They felt light on their feet. And how often do you and I, when we finally let go of something, I mean, it is like the windows are open, the fresh air comes in. Oh, boy, we can stretch, we feel good. Yes, we can take those steps again, we can go forward. Our thinking has changed. Yet you know, so often when we hold on to things, the opposite effect happens. We're weighed down. We can't run the race. And yet we're called to be in a race. We are in a race. Whether you believe it or not, if you're a believer in Christ, you are in a race. And we are asked, told, commanded, exhorted, encouraged to sit down and take a look at ourselves and see what things might be in the way of running that race the way God would have us to be. We are soldiers, but not only soldiers, we're runners. To win the race, we must lay aside every weight, everything that hinders us, keeps us from performing and doing what God has called us to do. And what's interesting in this text is that it says, we are to throw off everything that hinders and the sin. So it seems like there are certain things that hinder us that are not sin specifically in Scripture. We need to look at ourselves and see, well, how much time do I actually spend on the computer? How many games have I been playing and how much time am I spending over here? What am I thought life like? What am I watching? How long am I watching things? What am I reading? Who am I spending time with? Where am I going? We need to do inventories, examinations. Easy? Are you kidding me? Let's be real. It's not easy. But it needs to be done. It needs to be done. As somebody said, you know, some of the hindrances may be an excessive desire for possessions. Maybe a captivity because for the love of money. Just got to make sure I get that paycheck, you know. Burdensome legalism. Make sure I'm reading the exact right scripture only. You know, which translation am I reading? What clothes am I wearing? And we sometimes put these burdens on our back. An endless pursuit of pleasure. Slavery to sinful passions in our lives. And you know, as well as I do, that probably many of us have closets that we want no one ever to see. You know, we have doors in our lives. We get deadbolts, 15, 20 of them on either side. No one's going in that room. If you compare yourself to a house, how many rooms in a house do you show people? I'll show them the kitchen, the living room, dining room. We might go upstairs and see one room. We're not going into the attic, and we're certainly not going in the basement. We have to reveal ourselves. And we have too many things we want to hide. I said, no, we need to let go. It needs to be. It really needs to be. As one woman wrote in a book, she said, these are the things that that I had to deal with. She said, unforgiveness, bitterness, shame, rejection, lust, greed, envy, deceit, insecurity, fear, doubt, apathy, indifference, laziness, anxiety, worry. All these things can weigh us down. Weigh us down. Keep us from being the person that God has called us to be. Being that person, we need to focus to run that race with our eyes fixed on Christ. How to do that? Easier said than done. One author recommended, he said, find a time, a quiet time away. He said, on a pad of paper, note the entangling sins, the sins that so easily entangle you. You can go into Scripture and find them. You can go wherever, but you could get so bold and so brave as to ask someone, tell me about me. Tell me the good, the bad, and the ugly. How badly do we really want God to change us? But he said, sit down with a pad and be willing to write down those things you know that you specifically, personally are wrestling with. Note the seemingly innocent hindrances and encumbrances that are not condemned explicitly in the Bible, but which you know are holding you back in the race for faith and love and strength and holiness and courage and freedom. Those things which you know are... Can you imagine, you know, getting ready to go for a race and you tie weights on yourself around your arms, your legs, your feet, you know? You put on extra clothes, you put a backpack on, you throw some bricks in the backpack, and you're going to start running your race. Well, you know, we do that in life because we throw these things on with our sin, with the things that we shouldn't do, and we can't run for the Lord. We can't do it. But he said, sit down. Note the ways you subtly make provision for these hindrances. Computer games, hidden alcohol, candy, the television, videos, the pull tab stop on the way home, magazines, novels. In addition, note the people that weaken you. Note the times that are wasted, thrown away. God hasn't commanded his commands for nothing. He didn't want to remind us about these things for nothing. The Hebrews struggled. They were doubting. And this author wanted to encourage them. Hold fast. Stay strong. Don't give up when you hit an obstacle. Maintain it. Look to the Lord. You know, and it's so easy to say it, but when we live our lives alone, when we don't interact with one another and share some of the burdens upon our heart and ask a brother or a sister to say, pray for me because I'm struggling here. I need to overcome that. Would you pray for me? I want to go further. I want the Lord to be primary in my life, and I need help. You know, too often, you know, it was in Matthew, or I forget what author in the which of the four Gospels said it, but, you know, Jesus saying, your hearts are, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. I had a picture one day of people coming into a church building on a Sunday morning, and there were two tables. One table was makeup, one table was makeup remover. And which one do many people go to? Oh, well, look good. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Inside, you're aching. You're hurting. But you're not letting the world know that. You're not letting your brothers and sisters know it. These are burdens. It could be sin, and they entangle us, and they keep us. We need to focus. So take the time to take an inventory of what's going on in your life. Am I reading the Word? Am I applying what I read? Or am I just filling my spiritual pantry full of all this knowledge? Am I exercising? Or my muscles very atrophied? You know, I can, you know, they're just weak because I'm not practicing what I'm saying. That's scary. And we all have a tendency to do that. You know, it's not as if, you know, hey, I'm here and you're there, or you're here and I'm here. No. But we need to work at it, you know? Aim at doing what God's called you to do. And it is not easy. But however, and I've asked myself the question, it's like, how badly do you truly want to grow? How badly do you truly want to hear God talk to you and actually respond to it? But as soon as you see it, well, wait a minute, you can't do that. You know, there's no way you could deal with that sin. No way. Don't even bother. You couldn't give that up. You couldn't give it up. Don't even think about it. But God's called me to. Don't even think about it. No, it's a battle. We need to put the armor on to fight it. Otherwise, we go through motions. We look good, you know, going through the motions. We do the right thing, say the right words, stand up, sit down, read the book. Yeah, it's all good. Are we changing? And it needs to happen. He says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and you know it does. And let us run, you know, three times in these three verses, he says, let us. He recognized, we're doing this together. Let us, let us, let us, let us run with perseverance. Don't give up. Endure. Focus. Focus. It's like that runner. He had to endure the pain of his leg, but his focus was, I'm going to finish it. My country wants me to finish it. Well, what does God want us to do? How often do we stop and say, Lord, what is it do you want me to do? And too often, sometimes, you know, I don't do it enough. Lord, direct me, show me, teach me, help me. We need that to happen. But he said, again, you know, let us run with perseverance, the race marked out for us. We have a race. We're in the lane. Your gifts. God has gifted you to help the church become the blessing in this community. Are you using your gifts? The race marked out for you. How did God wire you? What are you doing with it? Because if we're not, I mean, the church, the body, can't do what God's called it to do. So it needs all of us to do what God's called us to do. And he goes, you know, let us fix two motivators. The first motivator for why we can do it and should do it, first motivator is verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. The witnesses go back to chapter 11. And if you read chapter 11, you got this hall of fame of witnesses. Now, there are some people who say that, you know, these witnesses are in heaven looking over a rail, looking down at us as we run. I don't quite agree with that at all. However, you know, the witnesses are there. Their lives are an encouragement to us, because if you read through what they went through and they finished, if they can do it, they're saying, if we can do it, so can you. By faith, you can endure. By faith, you can persevere. By faith, you can confess. By faith, you can deal with the sins. You can deal with those entanglements in your life. By faith, God will enable you. By faith. This is what these individuals did in chapter 11. He says, look at them. Read them. But not only that, it hits me. When I read that, it was like, yes, I can look at them and see what, you know, Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, all these individuals and many more, how they endured all for God, how they finished. And I know Lee mentioned it, how we need to be a people who encourage one another. Are we doing that? If you, there's about 21, 22 one another passages found in Scripture that if we were doing those, encouraging one another, spurring one another on, caring for another, be kind and compassionate to one another, you know, and it goes on and on. If those were happening, if we were encouraging one another, we'd be finishing. We would be, you can do it. You can do it. You can do it. I don't think I can. Yes, you can do it. You need that because, you know, Satan doesn't want you to do it. So focus. And now, and the greatest example, the greatest model he leaves is in verse, you know, and 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. You know, Satan wants to discourage us. Jesus wants to perfect us. You know, in Romans, it talks about, you know, God wants to conform us to the image of Jesus. Continually allow God to work in our lives. Continually allow him to do it. How often during the day do you stop and say, Lord, I am hurting. I am off task. Help me. How often do we think, Lord, direct me, guide me? How often do we say, Lord, I'm in physical agony. Give me the courage, the strength to persevere and endure. Lord, I feel lost. I'm lonely. I'm hurting. Help me. Lord, thank you for the beautiful day. Thank you for the flowers that are outside. Thank you for spring. Focus upon Christ. This is all the time. A person who's running with their eyes fixed on Jesus, what would they look like? What would a person look like who actually was doing that? And I was thinking about that, thinking, what would a person look like? Well, and some words came to my mind. You would be confessing. You would be praising. You would be trusting in him, in Christ. You would be leaning on him. You'd be believing the promises. He said he'd never leave me or forsake me, so I'm not alone. Scripture says, you know, apart from him, you can do nothing. Oh, so let me make sure I'm connected, like the vine and the branches. Continually. It's like taking a spiritual thermometer and sticking it in your mouth and saying, Lord, what does it read? Close? Distant? In tune? Out of tune? Where am I spiritually, Father? Show me. You know, Psalm 139, 23, 24, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Try me. See if there's anything in me. Get me back on track. Let me be real before you. So I can be real in the world and they might see in me a difference. And someone might dare walk up to me and say, what is so different about you? I see a hope in you. Tell me, why aren't you crumbling like the rest of the world? We change, they change. We grow closer, they're going to notice it. It can't be helped. So focus upon Christ. You know, he said, you know, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him. Consider. Think. Ponder. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men. Because he did it out of obedience to his Father. He did it. Not my will, but yours be done. And man, so often it's like, Lord, I don't want your, I want my will. Humble. Broken before him. Consider him who endured such opposition so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He made it. We can make it. Change isn't an easy thing for many people. But there isn't one of us in this building who doesn't need to change. Who doesn't need to say, Lord, show me that room of my house that I have not gone into in a long time. Show me, give me the courage to unlock the door, allow you to go in, and help us to spring clean that room. May it be so. So I encourage you to recognize you're in a race. But you're not in a race alone. Everyone here is in a race. So encourage one another. So that we might be able to throw off all those things which keep us from running that race focused upon Christ. You know? So let's run the race that God has set before us with our eyes fixed on Jesus so that he may get the glory and the honor. Let us pray. Father, you know where we are and you know what we need to do. I pray that you would enable each of us to allow your Holy Spirit to show us those things in our lives which keep us from running the race with our eyes fixed on you. You know those areas which are not specifically labeled as sin in Scripture, which keep us from running. And you know those things in our lives which are sin, which keep us from running. So enable us, teach us, show us, grant us your grace and mercy to enable us to throw off all things and to run the race with endurance, with our eyes focused on you. We desire to do that. And if not, Lord, grant us the desire to do that. Humble us enough to know that apart from you, nothing's going to happen that's going to be praiseworthy. So continue to draw us to you, continue to show us your will, and continue to grant us the courage to be obedient to the call you've placed upon our lives. Through Jesus Christ, amen.